You have questions. Find your answers at starspsychics.com.
Hello, I'm Natalie, owner of starspsychics.com. I am dedicated to providing affordable access to spiritual advisors. Here are two satisfied clients who will tell you what it's like to work with me.
Quoting Jackie.
It's a comfortable site. Everybody is so friendly. They treat you like family.
Barb added this about Natalie.
She's a kind and caring person who gives accurate readings.
You have questions? Find your answers today at starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com.
And that's me, Natalie, also known as Starscast, with another beautiful guest today. You'll find that sometimes I do them two a week, because they're so, I have two more people that just emailed me, well, when can I come on your show? Well, I kind of base it upon if they have a book coming out, I want to get it close to that. I don't, my next openings are like October. I think I have one in July that got switched around. But nonetheless, it won't be unusual for me to do two in 1 week, like a Wednesday and a Friday. I don't know why I always choose Friday, but it kind of works out. So to start off, as I always do, I want to talk about the sites. MysticLivingToday.com. Of course, it's close to inserting everything for me. I will start tonight after dinner, usually after I do a show, or if I'm busy during the day like I have been doing all this stuff and trying to place ads and stuff, I kind of have some downtime so that I can sit, put my headphones on, and do all of the articles and the poems and all that kind of stuff. And I still have stuff coming in. Anyways, it will go up on the 1st, so you can look for it, then. And if you have something to submit, it can be poetry, an excerpt, it can be anything, an article, don't be afraid to submit it to me even on the 1st of June. I'll put it in anyhow. I work days after it's up, no problem. It's up for 30 days, so we'll go into June, end of June with it, and then we'll start with the July 1st one. But no, and you email me at starscast@mysticlivingtoday.com. And of course, my other site is starpsychics.com, stars with a Z as it was in the commercial. And, that site is 9 years old. I do all of the background work. I have a webmaster, Tony, who does, if I say, well, I'd like this here, I'd like this there, he does it pretty much to what I want. Sometimes we go toe-to-toe. He'll say, no, you really want to do that? Yes, I really want to do that. And nobody messes with Natalie. I don't care who you are. But anyways, it's a work in progress always. We're always adding things. He's going to be adding a horoscope. Your horoscopes. I don't know where he's going to put it exactly. Someplace up at the top on the right, on the sidebar. They're called sidebars. So that's where we're going to put it, and you'll be able to check your horoscope every day. And have you come to the site and see what's going on. I do have specials for first-time clients. First 3 minutes is free. I'm talking too fast. I'm sorry. And we do have specials after you do the first 3 minutes for new clients only. That's a one-time thing. You can't keep coming back. And then I sent out about, 2,500 emails to people that do not have memberships, giving them some special rates until May 31st. So if you got an email from me, check on it. It will be taken down on June the 1st. It should be. I might even extend it. What's the difference, right? What's the difference with the day? It doesn't really matter. So that's enough of me talking. And before I lose my voice entirely, I'm going to bring in my special guest. We have talked on the phone, her and I, and, she's excited, and I'm excited. You know how I get. That's why I talk so fast, because I love what I do so much. So without further ado, I'm going to bring in Rebecca Saxon. How are you, dear?
Hi, Natalie. I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you. And before we begin, I want to tell everybody about your site that you have so they can get a mental picture. It's Rebecca, RebeccaSaxon.com. She's got some stuff on here, free teaching and meditation, but we'll get into all of that. Now, usually, Rebecca, I always ask my guests, how did you get started into this? Everybody starts someplace. I started someplace, I got my feet wet somewhere. Did you always want to coach? Did you always want to work in the spiritual realm? I call it the realm. It could be the arena. Sometimes it feels like an arena, doesn't it? But how did you get started from when you were a really young woman? Not that you're old, but you know what I'm saying. Back, like, maybe high school days or when, however far you want to go back is great. But I want to give everybody a little background because I want them to see that we're not unique. Anybody can do things. You can do whatever it is you want to do. Mm-hmm. And but you have to believe in that. So I'm going to put this over to you now, and you can kind of start this whole thing going for us.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, that's a great question. You know, and as I was telling you earlier, this is actually my first podcast. So I I've listened to many, but this will be my first sharing, and I feel very grateful. I took some time to sort of reflect, right, because I definitely have a story, and there's a reason and a way that I got here. And as you know, so I'm a feminine divinity and sovereignty coach, and how did I get there? So I'll just back up a little bit, first of all, and just say that I became an RN. That was my initial work that I did, and because I've always wanted to help people, and I've had a lot of compassion. And then I ended up moving towards holistic because I had some of my own health issues that I couldn't get healed within regular Western medicine. But I think maybe I'll go back a little further and just say that as a child, I remember my mom telling me that even as a newborn baby and through all my baby years before I was verbal, that if other babies cried, that I would cry. And I didn't plan on sharing that, but what I'm aware of is that I was a highly sensitive person.
An empath.
And
yeah, only you didn't know it, of course, because you were a little baby. You didn't know.
I didn't know, and I unfortunately was born, or maybe fortunately was born, like many of us light workers, we were born into a family where, you know, it was like our parents didn't really understand us. So here I am, this highly sensitive child, and it turns out that my mother and my older sister had a lot of masculine energy. They were very... This leads into why and how I heal through the divine feminine, and that many of my clients struggle with these energies of feminine energy. And so I grew up this highly sensitive child, incredibly compassionate, and I had parents, especially my mom, my mom, you look to your mom, who was a woman's liber, like she literally, we would go on marches for women's rights.
Wow.
But when that was pretty cool. I actually have some neat memories of that. But unfortunately, there was a repression of feminine energy.
Mm-hmm.
And right now on the planet, we really need that energy. And I was born with that sensitivity. And many of my clients and many women are naturally, we naturally have feminine energy, which is receptive and which is tender and heartfelt, but because of the state of the world right now, like, we haven't been able to live from that place, right? So
exactly.
Long story short, you know, I mean, I just felt like an alien in the world. I was highly sensitive, and it was very sad for me, you know. And early on, I ended up putting on a mask that I called, you know, that was acceptable in the world, and this mask became my personality. And this is what I do with my clients now, is I work with women, and many of my women are very successful, and yet they still feel like something's missing. And I felt that something was missing my whole life. So I spent my whole life spiritually seeking, always seeking. I never married. I didn't have children. I was always seeking. And now I'm sharing what I've learned spiritually, and what I learned was that my business is called Divine Inner Light because I've learned that we all have this inner divinity, but we're covering it up with these masks. And the masks in for many of my women, like I said, they're either very successful in business or they're successful at home. There's some success that's just not filling that hole. And it's because of this mask or this false self that we are living from, if that makes sense.
Well, and it's kind of like the woman has a job. She, I mean, that's like, my mother was kind of like a leader in her own right. I mean, she wasn't the greatest of mothers, but what she did, I mean, she falls right into that. I mean, nothing stopped her. She went to the highest level in the insurance company that any woman ever did because she was a go-getter. So, you know, but you see, I was so shy as a little girl. I didn't really understand that then. I mean, I do now, you know, because you're always looking back to see, why did you turn out like you did? Well, look to your mother. Look to your father. My father was a very gentle soul. My mother, not so much. That's because she was born ahead of her time. She knew what she wanted. And I am sure, Rebecca, she helped many women that she worked with. I'm certain of it because that's how she was. So, but you know, how does one take hold? Like, you know, you're, a lot of women get married, they have children, and that's their life. They're home, they're with the kids grow up, they leave home, there they are. With if they don't have some kind of a career or something that they're involved in, how can they reach in and get what truly belongs to them? And that's the truth. I mean, I kind of fell into everything. Well, I didn't fall into, you know, that's just a saying. I mean, we don't fall into things. I just kind of say that to be kind of cute with it. But we're all led. We're all, the doors open and you go through them or you don't. But how does one dig really deep to find out what's going on within? How do you do that?
Well, it's interesting that you ask. So I've been, you know, so I worked at Miraval Resort. I just want to say there's a great answer for this. And, you know, when I was at Miraval, I was the integrative wellness expert. So I was really doing mind, body, spirit. As I mentioned, I'm a holistic RN. I'm a transpersonal psychologist. And so when I was there, I learned something about women because I had consults with women there from all over the country and actually all over the world, really, women from the UK. And one of the things I saw over and over is that women are generally, we're all moving so quickly right now, right, that we don't, we're not taught how to slow down and turn inward. And so when I left there in 2019, I had a very vigorous one-on-one coaching practice where I would work with women and I started to help them learn how to slow down and turn within to find out what's true and what's authentic and also to reclaim some of those more tender feelings and even to relearn how to receive again. I think as you know, Western women, we have forgotten how to receive. We got a lot of mixed messages about what it means to be a woman. And one of them, which is absolutely false, is that to be a woman means you have to give and give and give until there's nothing left. And so by the time my clients get to me, they're so exhausted because they feel like, I've got all the goods. I've got this great husband. I've got a great family. I've got a great job. Or I
but
keep
it's not
moving
enough.
Jobs.
Right.
It's not enough, right?
It's not.
So after doing this one-on-one coaching for the last 3 years, what I started to pull together was this process, right, that I'm now working on. It's a program that will, and it's going to be a group program. I really want to try to, I love working in groups, and with, you know, with COVID, I haven't been able to go do any of that. So this will probably start out an online group, but what we're going to actually do is answer that question is it's going to be utilizing the four gateways, of the divine feminine energy to reclaim, I say reclaim, right? Because before we were born, we were sovereign beings of light. We reclaim our true nature and our inner sovereignty. And I call it inner sovereignty because we basically have to learn to come back inside. And that's where our true radiant power is. It's not in a job. It's not in the right career. That's comes second. We have to learn how to come back to our hearts first. And
right.
From our hearts.
I love that.
Then, right? And then our minds. So it's these four gateways. The very first gateway answers your question. It's presence. It's divine feminine presence. It's coming back. It's being willing to slow down. And so frequently when we slow down, there's a lot of unhealed emotions. There's a lot of unexamined material that's the first step. We have to go in and we have to learn how to be with the present moment again. And then the second step is divine feminine love. And so this is about learning self-compassion. It's about learning how to hold and be with whatever is there inside. The third step is, or gateway to inner sovereignty, is what I'm calling divine feminine wisdom. And this really is about relearning how to trust our own intuition, to have clarity again, right? Because so many of us feel like we're chickens with our head cut off, right? Because we're like, we keep, and there's so many distractions in the world. So this third step is more about reclaiming our own inner wisdom, discovering that, and there's all these different processes, and I have steps where I work with your body. And then the fourth is divine feminine empowerment, where we bring it all together. And we basically make that commitment. We learn how to live. We're not going to be divided in ourselves anymore. We're going to learn how to live literally from our higher self. And that's been my path, right? So I was the hugest people pleaser my whole life. Like I, even as late as like age 30, I'm 55 right now. At age 30, I realized when I was about to, my boyfriend was about to come and live with me. He was moving across to the state I was in. And I remember crying and feeling like I was so codependent that I was afraid to have him that near because I would lose myself completely. I grew up feeling that everything about me was wrong, that my highly sensitive nature was wrong, that feminine energy was wrong. And I think that that's because in the world we value masculine energy more than feminine. And so as women, we have to all stand up and we have to say, no, I value feminine energy and be committed to going in there and do that healing to be able to learn how to hold those feelings, and then we can step into sovereignty, and then we can make choices in our life that we actually enjoy, as opposed to just doing things the way we've always done them, and then it never fulfills us.
Exactly, because there is more to it than just being a mother or a wife. But it got kind of lost somewhere. I mean, even when I was growing up, you know, you were expected. You got married, had a child. You didn't go to school. I mean, I wanted to go. I so much wanted to do. I either wanted to be a veterinarian or I wanted to be a nurse. I didn't have any encouragement from anyone. No one. Because they didn't do that. That's not what women did. You know, there was only one friend of mine who went to junior college, and that was it. All my other friends that I knew since kindergarten, we all graduated high school together, none of them went to college because they didn't get the encouragement, and they didn't have that inside of them that they could do it. They were expected to follow in these, like they were molded. Okay, you got to do this, this, and this, and this is it. And
well, that's a great point.
Yeah, it's true because it happened to me. And it wasn't until I was much, much older. I mean, I had a husband that did the same thing to me, though. I mean, so that, I mean, it, it and I and I really, I learned a lot, but it was tough on me. You know, he passed away. And it was like I was lifted. I wasn't being told, well, you don't do it this way, you do it this way. I mean, he was just, that's just the way he was. Anyways, I'm so happy. And I see in my granddaughter, and I'm sure people that are listening see it in people that the young women that they know, this independence. I mean, she's very spiritual, but you can see her inner strength. You can see that she will not be put in a little box and put a bow over it. No. I'm not going to do that. You know, we talk all the time on subjects that she probably doesn't talk to her mother about, but she talks to me about them, and I love it. Because she knows I'm spiritual. She knows I know there's something more.
Oh, I love that.
You're so right. You're so right, Rebecca. But and that doesn't mean that I lost all that. I didn't lose it at all. I mean, right now I'm ill on wheels, but I shouldn't say that. But you know what I'm saying. I'm a force to be reckoned with. You don't all of a sudden, it's like somebody flipped the switch on me. And I'm running out of hours in the day.
I think we all are.
Yes.
Before I forget, I want to just say something because you just made such an important point that I want to make sure to just before we lose it. You made a great point because, you know, there's never anything that's wrong in the universe. Ultimately, things happen for a reason. Let's just leave it at that. I shouldn't say things aren't wrong. But things happen for a reason. So, like I said, I grew up with my mom for a reason, right? My mom grew up with a mom who was more like what you're describing, who was very subservient to my grandpa. She was very quiet. She did all the right things. And my mom grew up, and she was more rebellious. And so she also was it sounds like we're the same mom. So my mom was so rebellious, she became a psychologist, but then she lost herself in overwork, right? Because it's like the pendulum swung from complete subservience to, quote, I'm going to be like a man. Mm-hmm. And now what I'm trying to help people with and what I found myself is it's not enough. We're not meant to be like men. Bless men. We need masculine energy. We have masculine energy. But we are over-masculinized. Mm-hmm. And now we need to come back to that middle place of play and magic and openness and receiving, right? Nature, cycles. All those things. We're missing that. And that's what helps us feel sovereign and free again because we're not trying to be something we're not. Like, this is the time on earth when we get to all peel that stuff off, right?
Right, right. And the young women, I mean, I'm talking from my granddaughter up, she's going to be 17, but up, you know what I'm saying? Even younger than that, they need to know that they too have a special place, that they don't have to be ruled by anything. I was, and it wasn't until I don't even know how many years ago that I started thinking a little differently. And of course, I have wise women around me. They're online. I've never even met them, but I do have them. And and, you know, isn't that funny? And I have another friend that she's all about herself. Not all about herself. She's so sweet. But she's her own person. See, I was not my own person. Now.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking
about,
right?
He would tell me how to put the cord around the vacuum. And I would do it.
Who did that?
My husband.
Who told you that? Oh, Lord.
And I didn't recognize it. Listen to this. It's funny. A lady from Finland worked with me in the business that we had. And she stood back and she watched this. She heard him. And he left, and she said, why does he do that to you? See, she was from another country now, don't forget. And I said, because that's how he is. And she said, he shouldn't tell you anything like that. You can flip it over if you want. See, because that's her personality. She was from Finland. She worked in the Russian embassy. Strong woman. Very strong. I worked with her for many years in another capacity. And I could see the difference between her and I. I wasn't around her. Finally, she moved because I worked for her husband. But the thing of it is that I guess you have to go within and find out things about yourself.
If somebody had told me, Rebecca,
I'd be doing what I'm doing now, I would have left. Oh, no, I can't
do
that.
Look how far you've come. Look how far you've come.
I can't
come.
Do that.
My goodness.
Now, you know, I get people tell me, well, is there anything you can't do? And I'll say, yeah, I can't swim and I can't skate. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how my inner will is now. And I just wish it would have happened a long time ago, but it didn't work out that way. It just doesn't happen that. It happens when it happens, but the sooner you can go within, like you said, and talk to somebody like you, the better off you're going to be. I mean, you're not going to be this nasty woman or anything. You're going to understand where you're coming from and where your place is in your world, not in somebody else's world. And that you are the most important thing.
Well, yeah. I've been through so many dark nights of the soul, okay? So, I mean, I didn't really mention that. I've had health dark nights. I had chronic fatigue syndrome that no one could treat it. At Stanford, I've had anxiety and depression on and off my whole life. I mean, you know, I'm in a wonderful place now, as you can hear, but it has been a lot of work. And so, you know, a great part of, you know, I'm deeply compassionate person. I'm also an astrologer. I have cancer up in my midheaven. It's a grand water trine. I'm extremely compassionate and loving, and I have been through so much pain that, you know, what makes an 18, 19-year-old start spiritually seeking already? What makes that? A lot of pain is what makes that. I had an eating disorder.
Well, you know, no, I don't know. I can only tell you about my granddaughter. Sometimes that's it. Not everybody, but sometimes it is, yes. But you see, I don't know what her inner pains
now,
are.
This is different. Yeah.
But I don't even know sometimes what really, I mean, I can see how she is around me. She speaks her mind. She's not a follower.
No, but is she reading spiritual books? Like, I started reading spiritual books at 19.
She is, but the funny thing is she likes me to read to her.
See, you have a connection. Yeah.
Yes. I said to her, why? She said, well, first of all, it's not boring. She said, and you have a way of reading, and you know, when she's in school, you know, whatever she's reading has dialogue, and she says, you have a way of, like, being each character, so your voice raises or comes down. She said, it's not just this monotone, she says, it's just uplifting, and it's just, I mean, when she said things like that to me, it just lifts me higher than the sky.
She's going to
be 17 in June,
Oh, wow.
She's
going to
be a senior. Yeah. But you can see, and she had her junior prom. So I was around all the girls. I was watching. You know, I was taking pictures. But I could see the difference between her and them. Isn't that? Of course, she's my granddaughter. You know, of course, she sits up, not on a throne, but, you know. But I was watching carefully. I was watching because I wanted to see if there was any similarity. Not really. But you see, it all depends upon who they're around. If they don't have exposure to spirituality, to knowing that there is more, they're not going to know. As a matter of fact, there's one girl, I was just reminded of it by talking to you. I probably have to get with her. She wants to learn about astrology. Well, that's how I got started, like you. And I just latched on to every book that I could get and all of that. But you see, now she's kind of probably seeking. But, you know, my granddaughter, even on Mother's Day, asked me, she said, well, how did you know you could do what you could do? And I said, well, what is it that I do? And she told me, she rattled off all these things, and I'm sitting there. And her mother went to Catholic school all through life, but her mother is not where I am at all. And she, you know, her eyes, my granddaughter's eyes were all shiny and happy, and she was asking this in front of my daughter-in-law. Well, my daughter-in-law, even though you get, I kind of say, brainwashed into thinking certain things when you're young, doesn't mean it's the truth. It doesn't mean it's real. You have to stay open to everything. And my granddaughter is, and I was so happy she was saying all these things. I couldn't believe it. So she's already seeking. She's already, and I'm so proud of her. I'm so happy that she's so much like me. I really am. My son is like me also. My son is like me too. So, you know, you have to be around people that understand, like yourself, that can guide you and tell you that there is something else. This, you don't step into this role and stay there forever. You don't have to. You can seek out, and you can be anything you want.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, go ahead.
And you know that. We need that. You know that to be true.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, that's the fourth step that I was talking about with the empowerment is, but we can't, if we try to be empowered through the false self, that's what's happening right now. So, for example, I have a client who's an award-winning writer, and she's a showrunner. She works in TV, and she has everything she could possibly want materially. She's got awards. She's not happy because she still has this emptiness inside that says that because she's not living who she really is. So that's why the first few steps, which you asked about, how do you get still, is how do you turn inward? It's by getting still. It's by then looking at what's there, healing what's there, then starting to align with and claim back what, you know, most of my clients, when I first meet people, and this was true at Miraval too, it's like when you ask them, well, if you had free time, what would you do? And they don't even know because they're so out of alignment. Many women are so busy, whether they're moms or working women, that they're so busy focusing on everyone else, and they literally don't even know what they like anymore, you know? And so exactly. We have to go in there. We have to discover, who am I really? Because when we're born, like you gave that example with your husband and stuff, it's like women are indoctrinated into focusing on others instead of themselves. So we all have to do a really hard stop, and it's a very conscious thing where we turn inward, and then we get to get truly empowered because we find out who we really are, we align with that, we make those choices, and we let go of who we're not, and that's how we get into this free place. Where, like you're saying, we can create anything we want. That's that final piece of empowerment. Because, I've already said it. It's like, so if you force things, if you do things in the wounded feminine way, which is basically the wounded feminine says, I'm going to push things, I'm going to force the issue. It's basically, a distorted masculine energy where we try to push and push. Then we don't get to have that sense of peacefulness that everybody deserves and is looking for.
But what is surprising to me is that I didn't get this from my mother. I really didn't. Mother, daughter, but I don't know. I don't know where it came from for me. But maybe it was the release of my husband. Maybe that was it.
Wait, when he passed away, you're saying? You mean, are you talking about the spiritual part of you that you don't know?
No.
Where it came from?
No, just the ability to realize that I have value, that I don't have to be told what to do. But it took me, it took me a long time even after that. I was so brainwashed. I was still doing what I'm doing, not at the depths I'm doing it now, not what I'm doing now, but I, listen to this, after he passed away, I go with my girlfriend in a store. Now, you know, usually we go and we look and browse and, oh, yeah, I'll meet you over there, whatever. I would follow her around like I had no claim to anything, like I was her little puppy.
You mean you didn't feel strong in yourself? You didn't have a sense of yourself?
No. I guess there was a fear.
That's how I felt. Yeah, I used to feel that way.
Okay, then you know. I mean, she didn't notice it, and I didn't notice it until, I don't know how long, but she kept forcing me to go out. She'd say, I want you to do this with me, and I want you to do this. So I would go because my son said to me, she'll stop asking you if you don't do this, and you will go nowhere. So I have to thank her for it, actually, because all of a sudden, I don't know how many years it took. Now, I don't really know. We walked in the store, and I stopped. And I said, I'm going to go browse over there, okay? She said, yeah, okay. And I walked away. And as I was walking away, I thought, do you realize what you just did? You're not following her around. It was that moment.
You had awareness? You actually had awareness in that moment?
Yes.
That's wonderful. That's great. That's part of the first step.
Yeah, because I didn't realize what I knew what I had. Well, I really didn't know what I was doing before. This was the natural way for me. You followed.
Mm-hmm.
I followed. Yeah. I didn't lead. It's not like that now. Look out.
That's powerful.
And I know there's a lady listening, and she's probably laughing. But that's the truth. That is the truth with me now. It doesn't mean like you and I, we all have our down times. We're not la-la-la happy all the time. We're not. We can't be.
No, not at all.
Because things happen to us, and we react. But give us a little time. Just give me a little time, and I'll be back. I will not stop until I leave her.
One of the things I always say is, like, in every moment, it's like we have a choice of choosing love or fear, which is another way of saying choose our soul truth or ego, you know, the inner critic and all these inner voices that we've basically internalized by living in this environment that we live in the world, which is this broken masculine power over energy. And as we begin to move towards choosing love more, move towards prioritizing the soul and the heart, then we slowly learn how to unplug from, you know, the mind that is always moving, that's pushing us, that's telling us we're not enough, that's, you know, that's the problem. There really isn't a problem. When you start to tap into your heart, you begin to realize, you know, the old saying that we actually do have everything inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but it does take that. It takes that commitment, and it takes that slowing down, and then we can actually receive again and enjoy receiving. We can enjoy our relationships again. Right? They don't feel like a chore. They don't feel like, you know, it's like a lot of times when I would work with women in their 40s, they'd talk about, like, you know, being intimate with their husband was just another thing on their to-do list.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
we've forgotten
how to receive. Oh, that was your job. That was your job.
Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't have to be that way. Feminine energy is about receiving.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it does take that commitment to slowing down and to really, you know, and what does that even mean to choose love over fear? I mean, that's a whole deep, the simple way to do it is to come back to your heart. And, you know, the whole first gateway to inner sovereignty that I am going to, you know, this program I'm working on and that I do with my one-on-one clients right now is to do that slowing down and to begin to become aware of what's happening inside the body. Because that's mm-hmm. the other thing, right? We've all left
yep.
our body and we just live in our heads all the time. And that's the surest way to make choices from fear instead of from love, because our body knows. And that's part of feminine energy is the body, the physical nature.
Mm. Yep.
And can you see how many things that we have believed that are actually the opposite of what we need?
Oh, yeah. I sure can.
It's pretty crazy.
Well, it really is. It really, really is. And, you know, if we could get some men to listen to this, of course, they probably would not like it. But you know, that's a power thing sometimes. Not all men are like that, though. Not all of them. I don't want to put them down. I mean, some of them are just like over the top with whatever you want, dear. Now, you know, it has to be kind of equal. I don't know what it's like because I wasn't treated like that, so I don't know.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you that we all have feminine and masculine energies. So even men can benefit from this. And I do believe in my future, for sure, I will be doing this work with men. Right now, my higher self is guiding me to really focus with women, because women are really suffering right now from this feeling split inside themselves, not feeling clear, not understanding why things don't feel good and why there's this emptiness and why is there this angst. And so as women start to practice this, we're going to be able to ground it in the world. And then I do believe men, and I'm sure there's even men right now, maybe even listening, who are getting something from this, because the truth, you know, masculine energy, healthy masculine energy wants to give to feminine. But you know why it can't? Because we have become the masculine in relationship, because we take care of them. We baby our husbands. We baby our adult sons. All of that has to stop.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, my son is everything to me, and my granddaughter, I'd step in front of a bus for her. You know, but I'm very empathic also, and I'm very caring, and I'm very giving to sometimes too much. I know, I realize that, but it makes me feel good inside. I feel good about it. I feel, but we tend to get frazzled sometimes when something happens. I tell my friend, she's listening, I get frazzled. Why am I frazzled? But she's frazzled right now, too. So something is going on.
Tell me about that. What's an example for you, something?
Well,
and I can maybe work with you.
Frazzled for me was, okay, my dryer died, okay, my clothes dryer. So, you know, and I don't have anybody here to help me. I'm my son. He's just down the road, you know. So I do have him. But I felt so alone with it, like, I'm not, you know, I used to follow my dad around. He'd fix machines and so on. I found myself talking to my dad. Now, if you were here, you'd fix this thing in a heartbeat, because I probably know what's wrong with the dumb thing. Right? Okay. So I was frazzled because I decided, well, they're both old. They're both 19 years old. And I thought, well, I probably should get the washer at the same time. So, but I put myself in this state of frenzy because now here we go. This was a major thing that I was buying, and I had not bought anything like this since my husband died in 2012. Well, even before that, because he had Alzheimer's. But anyways, this was my major purchase, and I think I got better, though, of course. I think I was afraid that I wasn't going to do the right thing, or I mean, I'm so good with all of this, computers and online, and I have, you know what I'm saying? I don't even know what it was, Rebecca. And I said to my son, you know, I've been frazzled all day. And he said, well, what do you mean frazzled? I was at my wit's end about things, like, I don't know, overthinking, trying to figure everything out, where is this going to go? And I wasn't worried about the clothes backing up because I knew I could get to those. I wasn't worried about that at all. I don't know. It was just something inside of me, probably that a lot of women face, that, oh, my gosh, I need a man to help me. No.
Yes, it just was it was like that revisiting.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
It's just based in your past. It is based in your past, having your father fix things and having your husband tell you every single thing to do.
So my son said, okay, Mom, you don't get frazzled. You take the bull by the horns and you either knock it down or drag it or whatever. He said, so just go. He found one. He found two of them at Best Buy, the best price, okay? And so he sent me a link. He said, this looks like a good one. I didn't say to him, okay, I'll get it. I didn't even say that to him. I stopped myself because I wanted to make the decision myself. And this was a big deal for me. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
And
yeah, sounds like it.
And then I decided to get the extended warranty. Sure enough, after the warranty is up, something's going to break because it's mechanical. I tell people, if you're going to get a computer, get extended warranty. If you're going to get something, extend warranty. Unless you have this thing that they have where everything is covered in your house, which I do not, because you're going to be left holding the bag. Don't do that. And it wasn't expensive at all. And I thought, I'm going to do this. This is a good decision. After that, I felt so good. I wasn't frazzled anymore. And also, my neighbor is moving. We've been neighbors for like 19 years. And we're neighbors. I mean, she's not my best friend, you know. My son pointed out some things, but I felt really betrayed. And I thought to myself, no, you need to be happy for her. This is what she wants. Don't be unhappy. So she came over a few times, Rebecca. This is how much I felt her energy. She came in the door, frazzled. She looked like she was going to have a stroke because she was trying to get this house all ready, and she was revving me up at the same time. She left, and I was so glad she left. And I talked to my son a lot, and I said, this is not going to happen again to me. I'm not going to allow that. I allowed it. And so I took a hold of the situation, and now I'm fine. I think she's making a big mistake.
Think she's making a big mistake? Is that what you mean? I'd want to be clear. So
yes,
you allowed, in other words, your boundaries. You had poor internal boundaries and picked up on her energy and let it
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I felt I got upset when she was standing there. I mean, she didn't know it. She knows what I am, though. And she knows I'm a sensitive. And after she left, I thought to myself, she's running. She is running from something, and I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. Maybe herself. I mean, I don't think it's anything major, but she's running. I can tell. She took a whole week to change her house. She found another house up in the mountains. And that was it. Not even thinking. You know, I would just, I don't know. But anyways, I have let go of that now. I'm not going to worry about it. I could get an awesome neighbor.
An awesome what, neighbor? Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're bringing up a really good point because, you know, that's part of self-love is learning boundaries, learning how to have external boundaries, which is to maybe start being more particular about the actual people we let into our lives. That's an example of more of like a physical boundary, right? Like you're not going to let, you know, now on you'll go outside instead of bringing that into the house. And then on an internal level, this is the trickiest one for most women because This is something that I had to work with myself, as I told you. I mean, I always lost myself around people. And as an empath, we have to learn how to have an inner sense of like a screen so that we recognize where I end and the other person begins. Mm-hmm. And as little girls, we watched our moms take care of everyone, feel responsible for everything. And then we grew up, right? So this is different from being an empath. Being an empath, I think, is based on sort of, it's our soul, one of our soul reasons for being here, right? Is we have the highly sensitivity so that we can bring our gifts more easily. However, and we can have compassion. Mm-hmm. But if we allow that to meld with the societal, the false belief that our mothers and our mothers' mothers and men at this point, everyone expects that women will do everything and take on everything. And so we have to learn to have like internal boundaries too, where we recognize, you know, I mean, there's so many examples of this, like, you know, women who have a hard time saying no when they're being given yet another thing to do at work. They don't know how to just say, this is too much, I'm not willing to do that.
Right.
And this extends across all kinds of relationships, or asking for what they want from their partner, just calmly asking. Instead, they just do it themselves. I could count on, I mean, it's the number of times I've heard women say, I don't even ask him to help in the kitchen anymore because he doesn't do it right. Well, this is all part of that, these boundary things. We've trained ourselves to think that if there's something wrong with asking for help, and we end up overdoing, we end up taking on other people's feelings. We don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. So we always, you know, we say yes when we mean no. And these are just different examples of boundaries. But as we learn to really love and cherish ourselves, like in our actions, then we begin to value ourselves. Believe it or not, there's still a part of me that cringes when I say this, but that value ourselves more than others. Like, it can't be any other way, right? But mm-hmm. I am, even at 55, and I've been on this path since I was 19, I still cringe when I, still right. part of me still cringes when I say we have to value ourselves more. Then we can truly love others because we have taken care of ourselves. And other people know that when we say yes, we mean yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And that we're not going to resent them, right? We won't resent them anymore.
Right.
Because
right.
we're not going to be walking around angry.
It doesn't matter if you're in a relationship and the gentleman wants to open the door, if he wants to pull out your chair, little things that are meaningful mm-hmm. out of respect. Now, that to me, that's respect. That's very respectful. That's a little old-fashioned,
exactly.
I know, but there's a part of me that, yes, is old-fashioned. Maybe it's the era I was in thousands of years ago. I don't know, but I like that. I like
mm-hmm.
that. And
yeah.
But it doesn't mean you can't have a stronghold on what's going on with you. You're not giving up anything, you know.
Right.
What bothers me the most, Rebecca, right now in the world is a lot of things, but this is that women are just giving in to men way too much.
Mm.
Women are falling at their feet. Oh, okay, I'll do that. Think about it, ladies. That is not the right way. How are you going to know when love comes around? Really, you're
mm-hmm.
you know, my granddaughter, I'm going to use her again. She said to, she looked at me, and we talk about serious things, subjects, like when I was a young woman, very young woman. And she looked at me, and she said, I knew it all along about you. And I said, How did you know? She says, because I can tell. I can tell how you are. I said, you know, Jada, things have changed. Her name is Jada. Things have changed right now in the world. I think women are too loose. They're making their lives themselves the way they are because they're not, they don't have any boundaries. They don't mm-hmm. understand what yes and no is. And they don't get to know
somebody.
They don't somebody.
Love themselves. Well, they
yeah,
don't
they,
love
they
themselves.
They're just
how
out to please.
They?
Yeah, they're just out to please, Rebecca. And it's, you know, yeah. I mean, that's the way of the world, I guess, but I don't like it. I don't.
Well, but you see, but I agree with you, but see, the thing is, it's we don't want to blame. It's not, the only reason they're doing that is because ever since we were little, that's what's been mirrored to us in many ways. There is
yes.
this underlying message that women are supposed to be givers,
taken care
over
of.
Givers.
Yes.
Yeah, that
you
like,
do,
and, that,
yes.
and then, and when you abandon who you really are, which we're all done, men and women as children are told, no, 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 no. In order to fit into this family, you got to act like this. You gave us
mm-hmm.
a great example of your own
mm-hmm.
family and how you ended up with a husband that was telling you how to wrap the darn cord on the thing. So
my mother
on
was
the vacuum,
same way,
I
though.
Mean,
see, my mother was very bossy. She,
right.
She
we
was,
often marry one of our parents.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah.
Now, the other side of the coin is his mother was wonderful. She treated me like a daughter. But I loved her. She loved me.
Good.
Even her
lovely.
Own daughter said, my mother loves you more than she loves me. You're her daughter. Because she had three boys and a girl. And she would say to me, she doesn't love me like she loves you. I think she loves me, but she chooses you first. The reason being, and see, I guess I learned some of that then. The reason being is that I respected her. She taught me a lot. And I just loved her dearly. And I didn't get that from my own mother. So she stepped
yeah.
in, and I didn't even know it until later on. But you see how your life, it goes in and out, and it goes on this road, and it's weaving, and it makes a turn, makes another turn. You know, I think the sooner women realize that, you know, they can speak their mind, they can do anything they want in this world. They used to say it was a man's world. Uh-uh. No. It's
yeah,
really
the
not.
The future is going to be... Not the future. It's absolutely changing. But the goal is that it's going to be everyone's world, and that
that's right.
To me,
yeah.
to have it be an equal men and women's world, we do need feminine energy in the planet, and part of feminine energy is expressing, and that's one of the things you're talking about. Is yes, we need to have a voice. We need to express ourselves when we step into that radiant power, and we
yeah.
find out who
yeah.
we really are. And men need to find out who they really are, too. It's
mm-hmm.
just that the gateway for men and women is actually feminine energy because it's been squashed out in the world. And so, you know, that's kind of why I'm passionate about that. As you can see, I, you know, keep kind of going back to that because I feel like that really is the solution, even to your first question about how do we access that part. Well, we need to get still. Feminine
mm-hmm.
energy is like a womb space. It's an empty, it's the blackness, it's the dark. We have to be willing. Everything in our life, we're always told, is about doing and doing and doing. And what I help women with right now, and like I said, and at some point I, you know, will work more with men, but it's about being. And if we can drop into and lean back into being, we will discover so much about ourselves. And then women, these girls won't be throwing themselves at men's feet because they'll realize that they're valuable because they
yes.
looked inside. They looked inside, you know, and you can't really do it alone. You have to have at least one other person or a group because the truth is that when we were little, we learned who we were by looking to our parents. And so now in relationship, we continue to learn who we are. So as you start setting more boundaries, or any of us set more boundaries, that's going to help us grow, and that's going to change our vibration, and then that's going to help us attract people at that same level where we are.
Mm-hmm. I
love what you said about a new neighbor coming. You might have a new neighbor that's going to be a better fit for you energetically. You can set that, throw that in the quantum field and see who you get.
It's true, but you see what was happening to me is I felt betrayed. I felt like, but you see, my son said to me, Mother, every time she, I don't have a car, every time she took you someplace, you bought her lunch. You paid for it.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? You even paid for her son and her daughter sometimes for lunch. We'd stop and get it. He said, so you just need to let that go. Now, I have another friend. Yesterday I went with her. She's total opposite. She buys my lunch. She argues with, no, I'm buying your lunch today. And her little granddaughter was with us, and she loves me. The other one loves me too, but not like this one. And I didn't recognize it. I didn't recognize it until my son told me. He said,
"Well,
what
do you think the betrayal? What do you think the betrayal is about?"
Because she's leaving me. She was leaving me with nobody to depend on to take me if I had to go get an appointment. I have an Uber guy that I pay him just to drive me. I mean, I can get him. I don't go through Uber, but that's how I met him. And and then I started sitting thinking to myself, well, come on, you pay him because he's driving you somewhere. Yeah, and you're probably going to spend less than you were before, I guess.
And exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So all of a sudden, my son said that to me, he said, think about it. Think about it, Mom. And I didn't. I was seeing more in it than maybe she was. She was always there if I needed her. But I can do it on my own. I mean, I am very resourceful. And I know that.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I would just quickly, if I could just add, if I were coaching you on that, you know, one of the things I always say is it's never either or. So in your left hand, you've got all the feelings of betrayal, whatever that is, right? Those are the feelings. We don't want to ever brush feelings under the rug. But then those feelings are based more in the ego. And then in your right hand, for example, is your soul, your higher self. And sometimes we have to talk to people to find that out. And your son sort of helped to kind of open that soul part of you that said, hey, wait a minute, I'm a wise woman. I'm going to find my way here, right? So, you know, that's kind of not either or, but in the end, we want to always lean towards love. We want to lean towards the soul.
Yeah.
And then
I'm
that's going to take us to a happier place.
You know, Rebecca, I'm going to really miss her a lot. I mean, we laughed and, you know, but, you know, things change in life. Who knows though? I could move away. If my son goes further south, I go too. I don't stay here. I think, you have to stand on your two feet, and I feel really good now because of what my son told me. He said, you weren't seeing this like it really is. Your other friend is your friend. Really, Mom. Think about all of this, all of the years. You know, you're going to spend less money having Chris, the driver, I call him my driver, I got a driver, right? You're paying him, you know, and it's going to be cheaper.
Yeah, and it's a more direct exchange.
Yes.
And you can go see your friend, you know, when she's gone, if you miss her, you guys can figure stuff out.
She's going to be 5 hours away.
Yeah.
And she's going to be up north, and I came from up north. Came from Michigan. I don't know. I hope we can keep in touch at least. I would really like that.
And that can be your intention. You can express that.
I will. Yeah. You know, and I, but they're going to, you know, if they sell their house right away, because this house is furnished that they bought or buying, they're going to go right away.
Wow.
They're going to go right away. But I just...
Lots of changes. You know, we've got these big eclipses going on. So there's a lot of major, major change right now. That this next month is a great time for doing a lot of deep inner work and basically changing the trajectory of your life, because I always use this example of, like, if you're on a ship and you change course by 1 degree, you're going to end up in a whole different place in the future. And so to be really gentle with ourselves, you know, and I'll leave this because I know we're getting kind of close to the end. But
oh, don't,
like,
worry about it. Yeah, it's okay.
Okay. Well, yeah, if we choose to make small increments, that's actually in some ways more powerful than trying to make really big ones because, like I said, 1 degree change, right? So you having her leave could make, a, you know, you just never know who's coming, right? And by setting the intention and saying, I'm ready for something new. I'm ready for something loving. I'm ready for something healthier, you know, and be open to that and wish her well.
Yes.
You know, as you keep your vibration up, then you'll be able to attract something at that same level.
Yeah. Or you know, and it's okay, just so long as it's a good neighbor, kind, and, you know, I mean, I saw the realtor again. I've known him for years, and I just said, well, I wonder what kind of neighbors I'm going to get. And, you know, I mean, the housing market down here is going bonkers.
Where are you again?
South Carolina.
Which part?
I'm about 15 minutes from Savannah, Georgia, so I'm right in that little curve along the ocean. Bluffton. It's called Bluffton,
wow.
And it's the largest growing city in South Carolina right now.
Wow.
I mean, my son has so much
work.
There's so much money down here. We always worry because we've seen it, is it could dump. I mean, it could flip over and not be like it is right now. But, I mean, people, and I'm by all the schools, we chose the right place. I love my house. There's a man-made lagoon behind me. Sounds like I have this really expensive home, but I don't. I'm in a subdivision, but it's beautiful. It is beautiful. And, you know, my son and I were talking, and he said, well, Mom, I can tell you one thing. We ain't going north, because he was born and raised in Michigan. I said, nope, land of ice and snow. Nope, not going back. I'm not going back there. I did go back when my best friend was ready to pass, and that was a wonderful experience for me because I held her when she passed, and my son held me. We were the only two there, and it was probably the best thing that could have happened for me, but I wanted that, you know. But anyways, I don't have any desire to go land of ice and snow, that's what they call it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, so, but anyways, this has been so enlightening, and I hope everybody gets something from it when they hear the replay. Your site again is Rebecca Saxon. RebeccaSaxon.com. And she has a complimentary Zoom call. You can click on that, and she's going to give you that. And you have this lovely picture of her, very trustworthy, very trustworthy. You can look at her, and I love to do this. You can look at her, and you know she's going to take good care of you. She's not going to lead you astray. No, it's true.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's the nurse in me.
Yeah, when you and I talked before, you know, I mean, we hit it off right away, you know. I mean, I told you the hour would go by fast.
I know. Well, I have a quick question. It did go by fast. Do you think, and I know that you and I, man, we could talk anybody under the table.
Oh, yes. Because I come back with something. You'll say something, and that's kind of a gift. You know, I had this man on from India. And I thought, what am I going to talk to him about? He wrote a book and all that, but I thought, and this friend of mine was listening to him too, and I thought, this is going to be tough. Oh, tough. He kept saying to me, I want to know something. Natalie, how did you get so spiritual? How did you bring your magazine to have so much content? I said, it took years. It wasn't like a week, you know. We hit it off. Everybody, there was only one gentleman that I really, I didn't lock horns with him, but I knew he really didn't like me. And his publicist sends me stuff. And I don't know what what his problem was, but he's a director, producer out in Los Angeles, and I don't know what he expected from me, but it was the most difficult talk I've ever had in my life. That's several years ago. And I almost thought about not doing them anymore, and then I thought to myself, don't be so dumb. Hey, he's just one. Mm-hmm. And I've got so many pluses of people like yourself, and it's just, I don't even think about it anymore. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
like when we met, I told you you're providing such a wonderful service, and
thank you. That means a lot to me.
Yeah.
Coming to you. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's so obvious, and I feel really honored that this was my first podcast.
Me too. So now you can get your feet wet, and you can go on and do other things, and we'll have you back on the show.
It was fun.
It's so easy. So easy.
Well,
now,
and
are you writing, books or anything? Are you writing any books?
Well, no, there's a book coming. Right now I'm working on this program, the group program called Inner Sovereignty, and the Four Gateways of the Divine Feminine to Getting to Inner Sovereignty. And but I am doing the one-to-one coaching, which is based in the exact same material. It's just much more focused on one-to-one. And I wanted to mention, sometimes I like to say my last name is like Saxon, Anglo-Saxon, S as in Sam, because sometimes people hear Faxon. And I wanted to ask you also, is it going to, like when they go to listen to this, is it going to say, it has my little bio there, right, I believe, in a picture.
Yep,
so they can always look at the bio.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's one in the chart.
The new one is
there.
I mean, put it up myself.
I saw that.
I don't miss a beat.
You don't.
No,
I've never. You're such a hard worker. Well, thank you. I'm so excited, and I just want to say to anyone listening that if any of this resonated, please do reach out. I would love to get on a, you know, kind of a clarity discovery call and see if I could be of service and help you make that shift.
Exactly. And
it's a journey. You know, it's not for everybody. It is a journey. Yeah. The journey
really
inwards.
Is. Yeah.
And a rebirth.
Yeah, we just have to find out who we are, what we are, where we're going, and I wish I would have done this years ago, but it's okay. I'm not too late. It's okay. I'm happy with self, and my goddaughter. We talk every day or text every day at least. And this was my friend who passed away. It's her daughter. We were talking on the phone one day, and I said, oh, gosh, you know what I fear the most is I've never flown by myself. And she sat there, and she laughed. Oh, my God. She said, you'll get somebody to put you in one of those little carts and drive you into the airport, wherever you want to go. She said, you will talk to everyone. I said, how do you know that? She said, because I know. You will own the airport, she said, when you're done. If you need something, she said, never fear. She got that from me. I felt so good about
that.
That
is so true.
That's the only thing that
would
make me nervous. Yeah, that's what she said. Oh, never fear, she said.
That's so cute.
You'll do it.
You will own the airport. You will own the airport. I absolutely love that.
Yep. She said, you're going to own the airport. Okay, what do you need? Okay, you over there, can you help this lady here? I mean, I'm all forever doing that, but we all have a shyness, though, don't we, Rebecca? Don't we have an inner shyness that, don't we? We do.
Yeah. Well, part of this unveiling that, I mean, it took me so long because I think, you know, in many of my clients, there's this deep level of shame, and that's what the shyness is. It's the sense that there's something wrong with us, and there just isn't. But we have to go inside and look to determine that. And then we might still feel calm, and we might still, hopefully we feel calm, but we might not feel like we need to, overly exuberant, right? But we can still just be ourselves, you know? Like one of my mentors calls it, what was the term? Now I can't remember. It's something vulnerability, where you're vulnerable, but it's in a really loving way. And I feel like that's what's missing in the world right now, you know. It feels so good to just learn to be transparent, even on our down days, to let ourselves still show up for life and, you know, just get to be human and join the human race while still, you know, it's like this relaxation into who we really are. And then, interestingly, it actually brings us closer to our higher self when we stop trying to change who we are and learn how to relax into who we really are.
You know, I have a caller. Can I see if they have a question for you? Can you hold on?
Sure.
Hi, this is Natalie. Did you have a question for Rebecca?
I did have a question. It was because I was reading the description, and you talk about menopause, right?
I did. I taught a class on menopause at Miraval. That when I was a, you might be reading. I had two bios. There was a, but yes, I did teach a class when I was at Miraval on menopause. Yes, and I know a lot about that. I know a lot about that, the mind, body, spirit aspect of it.
Okay, so I've got a question regarding menopause. Have you heard of, or do you think it's normal for people's hair to start growing in as feathers?
Growing in as feathered?
Yeah, like instead of growing in like a single hair, growing in as multi-fine, smaller strands all clumped together.
Well, I know that that is something that can be affected by a lower testosterone level. And by the time you're 40, you've already started to have less testosterone. That's one of the main reasons that women specifically have hair changes. And that will continue. And it doesn't happen to everybody, but I am aware that when you have a lower testosterone, it can affect your hair in different ways, as can too much testosterone for women who do bioidentical hormones.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that's why it was. Thank you.
Yeah, bioidentical hormones.
Thank you for calling in. I'm sorry I didn't recognize you earlier. Actually, Candy's in the chat room. She says, does she have a question? I'm so busy talking. But I'm glad you called in. Thank you. You can always go to her site now, don't forget, Rebecca Saxon X.
Yeah.
Rebecca, RebeccaSaxon.com. And she offers she has a Zoom call that if you'd like to talk to her one-on-one and see what else she offers. It might help you.
Oh, right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a great day. Okay, Rebecca, I guess that's it.
All right.
See, we went over almost an hour and a half. I love it. I love it. Relaxed. We're just, I'm going to just chill a little bit, then I'm going to, I have to feed my cat because he's standing here looking at me. He's the strangest little cat. I mean, he'll sit in the smallest things. He's big, and he'll whirl around and make himself really small, and I sit there and I laugh at him. But anyways, I'm so happy we got together on the air, and this is your first one. I feel honored that you decided to do your first one with me.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. You have a really wonderful weekend. We have a big holiday weekend, so let's relax.
Yes, I'm not, you know what I'm going to be doing is a magazine. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I'll start after dinner. And then, I mean, I don't kill myself because I have until the 31st. Actually, I could put things up on the 1st, you know. But I just have so much, and so much is still coming in, and
yeah, and
but I love
an article.
I get in the zone. If you watched me, just like I'm sitting on top of the world doing all this. I just love it because I'm. And you submitted something, so you'll be in there. It's kind of like I'm helping to get all of these beautiful people out into the world so they can be recognized, because a lot of people would not even know you exist. So I'm helping to do that. And my friend just said, nice lady, good connection. She'll tell me, oh, my gosh, good connection. Yay, team. But it is.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, the article I wrote for this next month is called Let Your Inner Sovereignty Call the Shots.
Yes,
and it
I
talks
it.
A little bit about, yeah, it talks about how to allow that part of us to start navigating our lives. So thank you again. I'm so grateful to have been here, and I just I just appreciate everyone who's listened and just want to send my love and thanking you so much, Natalie.
And I will send you the replay. As soon as it goes up, I will send you the replay that you can have and listen to and say, oh, gosh, why did I say that? Or, gee, that was really good that I said. You know, it's always kind of nice to hear yourself. I don't listen to them, but I know everybody else does. So, and then Candy, I have to thank Candy. She's the one that does all the promoting and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm just so honored to have you on my show. You know, and it tells people that you don't have to be an author to be on my show. I mean, I've had people, I had an opera star, you know. You just don't. I mean, it all walks of life. Yeah. And that's what I love.
Yeah, and I mean, somebody told me I should take all my blog posts. I have so many different blog posts and make a book out of it. So there may be a book in the future, and I'll be sure to let you know.
You better. But we'll be in touch because I would like to keep having you in the magazine as many and many months in a row as I can, if we can do it. And I know people get busy and they can't, you know, I have some that say, well, I can't really do this month. Okay, don't worry. I got you on my list. I'll get you next month. So, yes, because you have an awful lot to offer the people. You really do.
Yeah.
And you need to get out there. You really do.
Yes.
Okay,
thank
I love you,
so
you and I'm sure we'll be talking again soon. So, everybody, we ready to dance? I have to end my show. You're going to love this, Rebecca. I always end the show with believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And with that, we're going to play Free to Love. This is Candy's song that she put on. It's a friend of hers. And I play it always at the end to make people feel lifted and enlightened and know you are free to love. That's for sure. So let me get to my little dashboard here, and I will play it.
If everyone could be who they were really meant to be, without limitations, discrimination, this world could show all its colors, so get the chip off the shoulder. Yeah.
have a good day, everyone.